America Meditating Radio Show, we collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts 24/7. Hi, I'm Sister Jenna. Join me and guests on Blog Talk Radio as we amplify stories that compel us to be more for ourselves and everyone else around us.
Are you in need of a tech service company that's going to deliver the best solutions for your business? Natronica is your solutions headquarters. Here we specialize in your individual needs to make sure your business shines. For more information, please call 301-417-0070 or visit us at our website at atronica.net. Atronica, where we deliver for you.
Do you like to meditate? Have you tried to meditate? Have you struggled with meditation? Why don't you visit one of the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Center? Visit brahmakumaris.org.
Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor?
My neighbor?
Mr. Rogers passed along friendship, hoping we would too. Friendship, pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Are you stressed, frustrated, or annoyed at work? You don't have to be. Soothe your mind and open your heart as Sister Jenna guides you through a peaceful, calming meditation that will prepare you to focus, be present, and most importantly, bring you back to your inner peace.
Forget today's pain. Ooh, dream weaver, I believe.
Hello and welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. That was a timeless classic by Gary White, Dreamweaver. I think many of us can remember our days, if we're up there in numbers, just those teenage days when these songs came out and what they used to do to us. But when I watch them now in like Adam Sandler movies and stuff, I have to crack up laughing because they always bring them out at a time where it's like a moment of really going into an experience of fantasizing about life and just the way that we wish for it to turn out. Having a conversation with someone the other night, and it's just a lot of interesting realizations in terms of her journey and the way it has unfolded for her. And so on all levels, she's living the best life ever. And yet, there's still a need. There's still something on the internal aspect of the self that still needs fulfilling. And she was so perplexed, like, why? Why is this sorrow in me for this? And again, it takes us back to there is. I am saying this not from a theory. I'm speaking to you from experience. I know I'm carrying a story from the past. And I'm not talking about the past of this lifetime. There are too many signals and too many scenes, too many occurrences between either soul and another soul in time that don't make sense. They don't calculate. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that a child is abducted at the age of 2 and is taken away from their mother and father. It doesn't make sense that a child who's been given everything possible to man ends up going on the other side of the track. It doesn't make sense that over 1 billion children of today don't have proper drinking water, and we buy water. And of course, as we know what's going on in Flint, Michigan, it's like this should not be happening in our own country. And so there's a cause for all of these things that are happening. And to what extent do I use meditation, reflection, raising to myself the right questions so I can find the courage and the clarity to understand what's happening on my interior world? Please stay tuned. We're going to have a heart-to-heart conversation with Cheryl Richardson, who is a world-renowned life coach and a New York Times bestseller. And before we get Cheryl on the air, I'd like to take us into an aspect of meditation, one that I came across called the switch. And when we meditate here on the America Meditating Radio, I'm inviting you to raise your bar of thinking. Please, don't force yourself to stop thinking. Your life is too important. You are too valuable. Your thoughts are valuable. What we want to achieve is the reduction of waste and negative thoughts. That's not what we need to be doing. We need to change that narrative. We need to switch it. So take a deep breath. Relax.
Imagine that you're sitting in a control room, looking through your eyes. Allow your body to become very comfortable and still. Now, turn off all the switches in the control room to the body. Turn off the switch to the feet, the switch to the legs. As each switch is turned off, you'll feel that part of the body relax and become very light. Turn off the switch to the stomach and the chest. You'll feel your breathing slowing down. Turn off the electricity to the hands and the arms. And you'll feel all the energy drawing upwards. Turn off the neck. And now, last and most importantly, turn off the switch to the face until the whole engine of the body has come to a standstill. And now let your mind relax. Present. And become zero.
Welcome back. That was I'll Be Waiting by Lucinda Drayton, and that was The Switch on the Jewel CD, which you can pick up at any Brahma Kumaris meditation center across the globe. Doesn't that really get you into a place where you feel authentic and real? I know it does for me. So we are very proud to welcome Cheryl Richardson. Cheryl is a world-renowned life coach and the New York Times best-selling author of several books, including Take Time for Your Life, The Art of Extreme Self-Care, and her book co-authored with Louise Hay called You Can Create an Exceptional Life. She was the first president of the International Coach Federation and holds one of their first master certified coach credentials. Now, her work has been covered widely in the media, including Good Morning America, The Today Show, New York Times, to name just a few. Cheryl was the team leader for the Lifestyle Makeover series on The Oprah Winfrey Show, and she accompanied Miss Winfrey on the Live Your Best Life nationwide tour. Can you imagine how transformative that must have been for her? Cheryl has also served as the co-executive producer and host of the Life Makeover Project with Cheryl Richardson on the Oxygen Network, and as the co-executive producer, you get an idea of how much work Cheryl has been up to. Today, we're proud to welcome Cheryl to the America Meditating Radio. Hi.
Hi, Sister Jenna. Thank you for having me.
Well, I love the fact that your life is contributing in making our humanity much better. And it might be even safe to say that for many of us who have been called to do that, how interesting it is for us to keep our authenticity along the journey.
Yes, yes. That's the greatest challenge and probably the most important intention that one can hold as they go about life, both because it serves us personally on a spiritual level, and then also it serves us with everyone we come in contact with, every relationship we form.
Right.
I have to tell you that I loved the switch meditation. I was sitting here doing it, and I thought, it brought me right back to a time, I must tell you, many, many years ago when I was introduced to the Brahma Kumaris, and there was a woman here in the Boston area, her name was Sharona Stillerman, and she introduced me to the meditations from the Brahma Kumaris. I still have two cassette tapes with the most extraordinary meditations on them. And so the minute I started to listen to the switch, I was brought right back to that time, and it was beautiful, just beautiful.
Oh, wonderful. You know, Sharona is now in Israel, and she's doing incredible work over there with just bridging the gap between the Israelis and the Palestinians. So she's using her spirituality to create harmony in that particular region, and we always send her lots of good wishes. I want to get to our conversation on especially self-care, because our producer, Antonia, she's like, were you born like this? Because I don't stop. And for her, it's interesting. Because on the outside, what she sees, at least, let me rephrase that. On the outside, I have no idea what she sees. Let me rephrase that. But in my world, I feel like I'm so much connecting my dots. And when I feel like my dots are not connecting properly, I don't feel like I'm taking care of myself. So the beginning of this year, I had decided to pull the reins back, since everyone is like, you can't keep going like this. This is not good for you in the long run, blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm going, okay, let me hear my fans and my friends tell me. I'm going to pretend I'm not doing anything. Cheryl, it's insane. It's not possible. How can you have a stallion acting like a donkey? It just doesn't work.
Here's my question to you.
Let's talk about self-care. How do we actually take care of ourselves? Because I'll tell you, when I was a stallion last year, I felt much better, like I was taking care of myself. So,
well, boy, I'll tell you, I'm still back on that, the idea that you had of telling yourself that you're not doing anything. I heard that as, imagine just waking up and telling yourself that you're not doing anything, even as you go about being a stallion, you know?
Yeah,
and
it's
what
not
that
possible.
Might do. It's not possible. But, you know, here's what I want to say about that. This is so important. And it took me many, many years of coaching to understand this, to really get this in my bones. And that is that some people are meant to be stallions, and they actually thrive in that environment. And they feel alive, and they feel happy, and they feel healthy, and they really feel like souls who are here doing what they've come here to do. And other people need to be, feel like the donkey, and they feel alive and vibrant and as if their soul is here doing exactly what it's meant to do. So I think it's really important. I mean, what I've had to learn is to really pay attention to what is authentic living for each individual and what is authentic living at the present moment time. Because there was certainly, you know, when you read my introduction, I hear that now and I'm exhausted. But when I was in the midst of all of that, in that period, you know, many periods of my life where I was a stallion, I was excited. I felt alive. I absolutely felt like I was being divinely guided. I was following, you know, I was following divine guidance in what I was doing. And then eventually, when I didn't pay attention to when my being was calling for more presence and less action, is when I got into trouble. So I think that's really the conversation.
When my being was calling for more presence and less action. And you see, for me, I felt like I was in my presence when I'm in action. As I allow this month to pass through me, and yes, there's still a lot going on, but not at the volume that I'm accustomed to, I'm not feeling my presence, which I find to be very interesting. Sort of like if you're driving a Tesla, you cannot drive that car like it was a bullet cart.
Right, right. Well, that's the important thing, is to just notice. I know, I mean, I have to say, you know, so I'm 50, I think I'm 56 now, and I am finding a lot more interest in present, you know, in being present to my life in the inner world. I mean, I've always been interested in my inner world since I was a young girl, but I am more interested in quiet, having more periods of quiet presence in my life. I mean, you make a good point. We can be present and still engaged in the world. I mean, that's the whole idea, right? Is to learn how to be present, to be truly present in all that we do. And the more you meditate, the more that happens, without a doubt. And so, and when I look back at my life when I was a stallion, my greatest regret, and probably one of my only regrets in my lifetime, because I don't have many, is that I wasn't present for some of the extraordinary things that were occurring. I was halfway present or a quarter of the way present. And if I could go back and truly re-experience from a place of presence what was going on, I would do it in a heartbeat. So
I like that.
Yeah, so
I like
think
that.
Really,
I like that.
Yeah, it's asking yourself now, am I pleased and satisfied and content with the level of presence I have in my life?
I think, and another thing that is very interesting, that sometimes when perhaps something is also calling us, sometimes there's just something new on the horizon and it's preparing you, but you're not even aware you're being prepared because there's just a discomfort going on. You don't feel the same and you're not as clear. And someone sent me my horoscope last night and they said, this month you're going to seem foggy, but it's for a reason. And then all of that's going to be like, you know, just showering on you. So I said to myself, look, astrology and stuff is a percentage, but I, the soul, have the power to do and shift what I want to do for me. And I don't want to say my stars are telling me that I should feel like this. So I look at like self-care as also a part of not just listening to the external, but really, really listening internally. What are you feeling? What are you going through? I mean, really, are you a stallion or are you a donkey gone rogue, you know, or something? And then I use it as a metaphor because it's so powerful to me when I look at that image, you know, for me.
Yes, sure, sure. Well, you know, we can look at the astrology piece this way. It's a sure sign that you're disconnected from presence when you begin to make choices about your life based on material you find on the outside. That doesn't mean that, it doesn't mean you don't take it in. It doesn't mean you might not be influenced by it. I certainly am. But ultimately, the older we get, the wiser we get, and the more present we become, the better able we are to go inside and really either know what's going on, become at peace without knowing what's going on, just be present. And so, no, I think one of the things that happens for a lot of us is in the beginning, there are stages in life. And as we get older and we move closer and closer towards our time of potential death, let's say as we age, it's natural and normal to begin to go inside and spend more time there and to really be able to access the wisdom that has been gleaned from so many years of experience, hopefully years of presence and meditation. And as we do that, what I find is that I'm much more interested in allowing what's next to find me, as long as I'm present. I think of myself less as the sort of masculine, striving, doing, pushing, the stallion, you know, if you want to use that image just in terms of what I'm speaking about, less of that image and more about the chalice, being the chalice, the lady in waiting, creating the space, creating the presence for what's next to reveal itself, even if what's next is simply an inner realization.
And I like that.
Yeah, and living that way, so far, I've been really consciously cultivating that way of living for the last couple of years, and it's unsettling, without a doubt, especially if you've been a stallion. You know, all systems inside are going to tell you something's wrong. And if you can use meditation to hang on through that discomfort and the voices that tell you, oh, you're losing ground or you won't get ahead or everybody's getting someplace that you're not getting to, whatever that might be, if you can use meditation to quiet those voices, you will find, you will access a deep inner sense of peace and knowing that will really inform the next years of your life.
In the most beautiful way. I appreciate that. You know, like when I was sharing with Antonia and others, and, you know, they look at my bio, what I've done in so far just these years, folks have done it in like 5 or 10 lifetimes. So I was telling them that I'm ready for retirement. And so where everyone is like, no, you can't retire, you'll never retire, I'm going, selfish people.
And then I start to think about, you know, when you said, because you've said that you've come to understand that selfishness can sometimes lead to selflessness.
And I'd love you to talk more about that, because how can our selfishness lead us on a path of selflessness for the greater good?
Well, if we're always doing things to make other people happy, to, you know, when we're doing things out of guilt or obligation, for example, then we're not doing them out of love. And many of the women that I've dealt with over the years are overburdened. They have way too much on their plates. They feel overwhelmed by a lot of responsibilities, including this desire to get someplace or to achieve something. Men and women feel this. Women just take on more of the management of the household in addition. And as a result, most of the people I have worked with need to practice selfishness at first. And when I think of selfishness, I think of it with a capital S, meaning that you begin to withdraw your energy from those places that you're using guilt and obligation to motivate you, so that you can begin to form true, authentic relationships both with yourself and with others. Because I don't know about you, Sister Jenna, but if you and I were sitting across from each other having dinner and you were there because you felt obligated in some way, I'd rather you not be there. I'd rather you be there because you were excited and you had the spaciousness in your life and you were, you know, you had chosen to be there from the pure, authentic heart within you. And so in the beginning, it feels like selfishness to people who have been overdoing and overgiving and overcaring to their detriment. But eventually you realize that when you make your self-care a priority, you ultimately begin to give from a much better place, a much more abundant and truly helpful place, I might add.
Cheryl, let's talk about soul, because all of this is happening inside of our inner being, whatever's the language that suits your palate: spirit, soul, metaphysic, energy, light, alma, ruh, even the languages. All of this is happening in this subtle energy, this energy that when it leaves the body goes 6 feet under and the soul goes somewhere else. It either goes to its next relationship to continue its learning lessons. And if the soul has no more karmas left here, no more, which means I am not attached to anything or anyone, the ultimate destination, the next would be God. This is how I look at it, right? Talking on a soul level, what is it that you have observed with all of your clients and all the counseling that you've done? What is it that we are struggling with the most, and what is the cure for that struggle?
Well, you know, what is it that we're struggling with the most? You know, I actually have to go back to your perspective on the soul, which is one that I share. And I think that because each soul has a different agenda in each lifetime, the answer to that question is quite individualized. And as much as I would like to, and I could totally make up an answer. I could tell you that a lack of presence is absolutely a foundational issue for most people, for everyone. The reality is that it's different for everybody. And that's why somebody can read one of my books and one person can have a deeply strong reaction to one chapter of a book while someone else has a reaction to another. So the one thing that will support everybody, is a daily practice of presence. I call it that, you know, a daily practice of meditation. And because we learn to, I mean, I don't have to tell you, of course, you understand this, but when we understand that when we feel the most overwhelmed or stressed or unhappy with our lives, we are the least resourceful. And so anytime you're feeling overwhelmed, the last thing most people want to do is sit down and meditate. And I understand this so well. It's the first thing we need to do. I tell people, take your phone, set an alarm for 10 minutes, sit down quietly somewhere, make sure you'll be uninterrupted, and just focus on the word peace. And do not stop until that 10 minutes is up. And your mind will give you every reason in the world why you must stop before the 10 minutes is up. And all you need to do is remind yourself that if I want to master my life, I need to master my mind. I need to master my thinking. And so I'm going to stay here regardless of what the mind says for 10 minutes. And then when it's done, I can go off and do whatever I want to do. And just 2 weeks of that practice, 10 minutes a day, 2 weeks of a practice like that can transform someone's life, because you suddenly, you're familiar with the crazy mind, you're familiar with the stallion mind that wants to run before it has a destination. You know, you become familiar with the trickiness of the mind to get you to stop being present so that you can, you know, keep in action, and you're able to just sit there anyway. And before you know it, it starts to impact every area of your life. You're more connected to your priorities. You're more connected to the actions that honor those priorities. You're better able to say no. You're better able to change your mind on the things that really require you to change your mind. I mean, that really benefits self-care on a fundamental level, that practice.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I do appreciate you sharing that, because I think that the more we come to realize that and apply that realization, I think the more we can live fully in a kind of a celebratory way of appreciating the fact that I was born here for something far more than my karmic issues are trying to distract me from. You know what
yes,
I'm saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well said. Very well said. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, what is Cheryl, has she got any upcoming events and programs that our listeners can learn more about and perhaps participate?
Well, I've started this year, I'm hosting two small retreats for women in the New England area in Maine, actually, southern Maine. If people go to CherylRichardson.com, they can see any of my events. I'm also, you know, a lot of the Hay House I Can Do a conference, I'll be at all of them this year. I'm heading to Seattle next week for a self-care boot camp workshop and then a speech at the I Can Do It conference for Hay House. So everything is right there at CherylRichardson.com. Thank you.
Beautiful. So leave us with a life quote, and hopefully we'll get you back on the air again.
Well, a high-quality life has far more to do with what you remove from your life than what you add to it. That's my best piece of advice to remember.
Fantastic. Love it. Cheryl Richardson, thank you so much, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you very,
bye-bye.
Very much. Take good care.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Om Shanti. Wow, that was a beautiful life quote by Cheryl Richardson, and I hope you enjoyed the conversation on self-care, which I think is just such an important thing. And I mean, even as I share with you very openly about even what has been for me just a month of slowing down by choice, not that there isn't a lot on my plate, it's just by choice, I keep asking myself, well, what's this? What's the benefit of this? I mean, I'm working towards a future where I will be living cool and easy and taking it, you know, as leisurely as I wish to. What's the choice of this? My hands are working, my legs are working, my brain is good, I'm young, let's go. Let's do this. Let's make this world a place where the future generations can really find some hope and some power in, you know? So, hey, I'm going to leave it up to you to participate and have your own dialogue within yourself. And yes, balance is essential. And of course, take care of yourself by maintaining the best possible thoughts you can. Because I feel that if your mind is in a good place and your thoughts are in a good place, this is it. This is it. Thank you for joining the America Meditating Radio. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them the permission. And we are here to love each other the same. So if you're planning to change the world, then start with changing yourself. Take care, everyone. We'll end today with the beautiful Sanatan Kaur, who's got a new book coming out in April. So look out for that. And we'll end with Wahe Guru. Take care. Right.